From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns once again, welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak. Today we will continue to look at the subject of the commanding Christ. And our study today is going to bring us to one of the most intimately, immediately, personally important subjects that a Christian can look at. So stay with us as we think of Christ commanding the storms to be still. First, we start with our hot topic for today, Star Trek fantasy. 2 years ago, Canadian actor James Doohan died and was cremated. Doohan was a World War II veteran who was injured on D-Day. Late in the 1940s, he trained as an actor and became famous for his role as Montgomery Scotty Scott in the TV science fiction series Star Trek. The phrase, "Beam me up, Scotty," caught the imagination of an entire generation, and Doohan became one of the most recognizable faces on television. I have no intention of getting into the philosophy that lay behind the Star Trek stories, though I think that there was a clear belief system that was skillfully disseminated. No, what took my attention was the fact that 2 years after Doohan's death, his ashes were launched into space, at least for a little while, for they dropped back to Earth to be carried to no one knows where. With Doohan's ashes were those of 200 others, including real-life astronaut Gordon Cooper. Scotty followed the example set by the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, whose ashes were blasted into space in 1997. To some people, the idea of sending the ashes of Star Trek actors into space may sound romantic. To me, I must confess, it sounds a little pathetic. It would appear that, as so often happens, the space travellers of the silver screen sometimes look on their fantasy as reality. The reality is that Doohan was not a space traveller. He was completely earthbound. The only space that Star Trek's creator, Gene Roddenberry, ever visited was in his vivid imagination. Yet these men felt that somehow they connected in a special way with space. Hence the final journey, 56 miles up into the atmosphere, to what's generally recognized as the edge of outer space. I know nothing of the religious convictions of James Doohan. I make no judgments about his soul. But I wonder if he or any of the others whose burnt remains were launched into space had any well-established hope of the ultimate space experience. When Christians die, their souls go to be with Christ, who is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When Jesus comes again, he will raise their bodies from the grave and gather them with all the living saints to meet him in the air as he descends to earth. That's the living hope of all who have received Christ as Saviour and Lord. It's not a fantasy, it's a reality. It's as certain as the very being of the God who, Peter said, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Is this the assured hope of your soul? As you face the reality of approaching death and eternity, don't abandon your soul to any popular myth or fantasy. These lead only to eternal despair and utter destruction. Scotty could not beam anybody up to heaven, not even himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. That's better than anything Star Trek could portray or its creator imagine. Make sure it's your experience and that you're ready at death to enjoy something infinitely greater than a brief blast off into space for your remains. What Peter called an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let the Bible Speak broadcast, we remind you how you may get in touch with us. We like to know that the Lord is blessing His Word to your hearts. As I've often said, we're grateful to you for listening in, and we're certainly delighted that the Lord answers prayer and blesses His Word to so many people as it goes out from day to day. So let me again take the opportunity to tell you the contact details and to encourage you to write and let us know that you're a listener to Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepress.org. ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free, 1-866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. I'd also like to make special mention of our website, ltbsradio.com. It's important that you remember to put the word radio. ltbsradio.com. On that site, you'll find, I think, much to interest you. You'll find a complete catalogue of our programs. You can access them. You can listen again. You can read the hot topics. You can read comments from listeners. You can add your comment. Various things. You can even visit our web bookstore. And there we have some things that I think will be of interest to you. So these are the ways you may contact us. We're glad to come to you by radio. We look forward to you being in touch with us. Currently in our studies of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are thinking of the commanding Christ. This week we have looked at Christ commanding the success of his service. We have seen him commanding the salvation of sinners, commanding the sifting of seekers. There are two more things in the series of events that we have been considering. We're only going to have time to deal with one of them. It's worth noting that the Lord Jesus, at the end of Matthew 8, commands the submission of the spirits, Satan and his angels. But what I want us to look at lies earlier in Matthew chapter 8, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ commands the stilling of the tempest. In Matthew 8:26, we read of another command of the commanding Christ, where he commanded the stilling of the storm. You remember the story how that he with the disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee. By the standards of other great seas of the world, it's not much of a sea, it's really an inland lake. But nonetheless, it can be a pretty dangerous place, and to this day, it can be a pretty dangerous place. It's a place of sudden currents and sudden strong winds. The disciples, who were professional fishermen, the 12 at least, for the most part, were associated with the sea. They were afraid. But the Lord Jesus was lying in the stern of the boat, asleep, at perfect rest. Now there's another sense. That's the man Christ Jesus slept and ate as a real man. The deity of Christ could never go to sleep. Understand that. This is the mystery of Christ's person. His deity could never sleep. Psalm 121 tells us, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The eyes of the man, Christ Jesus, may be closed, but the omniscience of the eternal Son of God could never be less than what it is. I see the picture. These people are frantic. And Christ is calm, unworried. They cry out, "Lord, save us, we perish." And the Lord Jesus did two things. First of all, he questioned them, and then he charged the winds and the sea. Question is, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Now that may sound a very foolish question. Why are they afraid? The waves are up over the sides of the little boat. The water's crashing in on top of them. By the laws of physics, the boat can only take so much more water before it goes down. And if they go down, they're dead. So why are they afraid?
On a human level, anybody could see why they're afraid, but that's leaving something out of the picture. There's a Christ asleep in the back of the boat. Do you not know who this is? Do you not understand who he is? Do you not understand his person, his power, his purpose? Do you not realize, as our little chorus that we so often have sung as children, that with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm? In another similar event on the same sea, which we read in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And as they were on their way to the other side, the storm arose and the winds blew the waves up into a mighty frenzy. And the disciples again were afraid. And again the Lord Jesus challenges their unbelief. "Why are you afraid?" He says, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" Good question. If your faith's in the boat can sink. But if your faith's in Christ, he can't. The Lord Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." In other words, when he invites you to go to the other side, you're going to the other side. Now, there might be waves in the way. There might be an expanse of turbulent water in the way. There may be winds blowing in your face. There may be all sorts of difficulties crying out, "You're never going to make it." But if Christ is in the vessel and Jesus says we're going to the other side, let's understand it. To the other side we are going. That's the truth. So he charged the sea. The Lord of all creation rebuked, gave a charge to the wind and the waves, and every element in his hand was put to sleep. But do you not see our own lives in that event? See, these people were willing to forsake all to follow Christ, and yet they ran straight into trouble. There's an awful lot of folly in us all. We think, well, if I were really following the Lord, I wouldn't get into trouble. That's the very opposite of what my Bible teaches. If you're really following the Lord, that's when you will get into trouble. That's when the devil will hit you with a greater virulence than ever before. If ever you knew there was a devil, you'll know about him as soon as you get close to the Lord and you start to follow him. And when your life is counting for God, you can count on Satan being active against you. And something else. If you're living by faith in Christ, you can count on Christ trying your faith. For the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You've got these elements here. As you're out on the sea of life and the storm whips up, you're facing the frenzy of winds and waves. You're full of fear. You see something? I think we should remark it. Christ was in the vessel, unworried. The things that cause you and me so much concern don't crease the brow of the eternal God with one furrow of worry. God isn't worried. Why should he? He has everything under control. Not only everything under control. This is where the old Reformed faith comes to the rescue of the heart. It's a very practical thing. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. If I could, the Trinity would no longer be a Trinity. It would be a quartet. So I don't understand it. But I am glad to know that not only is God controlling all things, but he is working all things according to the good pleasure of his purpose, according to the predetermined will of God, according to the eternal decree which covers all things, good and evil, men and women who are friends as well as men and women who are enemies, angels and devils, heaven, earth and hell, not only all subject to God's control, but all working out ultimately in the fulfillment of his all-wise purpose and decree. With a God like that in the vessel, who's not worried about what's happening, why should I worry? The only way I can worry is by forgetting who's in the vessel. The Lord Jesus isn't going down. He's not going down. With Christ in the vessel, we are going to reach the other side. Of course, there's none of us, even those who tell you not to worry, there's none of us who doesn't worry, because we're all sinners. But I want you to see this, that these people who were full of fear in the hour of trial were not less secure because of their doubting. Their doubting didn't make them less secure. Their doubting made them less serene. There's a world of difference. You see, their security did not depend on the strength of their faith. Their security depended on Christ. Their serenity depended on the strength of their faith. There's a big difference. A lot of people think, if I doubt, I mustn't be saved at all. If I worry, then I mustn't be saved at all. If I can't ascend above this, I mustn't be saved at all. Listen, as soon as you start grounding your security in anything you are or do or feel or say or think or whatever, you're going to have a sense of insecurity, because security demands something absolutely perfect, and that perfection is found only in Christ. Christ was in the vessel. No matter what they felt about their danger, they said, we're perishing. But you know, they weren't perishing. They weren't perishing. It was impossible that they would perish. I have often pointed out that when you read the New Testament, you have this phenomenal truth. First of all, nobody ever died in the presence of Christ. He said, I'm the life. Nobody ever died in his presence. And not only that, but when he came into the presence of dead people, nobody ever stayed dead in his presence. You ever see that in the Gospels? On the cross, what happened? He died, and only after that could the other two fellows die. As long as he lived, they couldn't die. Nobody died in Jesus' presence. And when they took his body and they put his body in the grave, even the people in the graves around couldn't stay dead. And out from the graves they came. That's the testimony of the New Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people said, we're perishing. Not at all. Not at all. It's impossible for one who has Christ in the vessel to perish. Oh, it's possible for somebody who has Christ in the vessel to think that he's perishing. It's possible for him to lose the joy of his security. Why are you fearful? I suppose that's the question, more immediately than any, that needs to be pressed upon every Christian. Why do you live your life in fear? Why are you fearful? Why are you so full of fear and worry and concern? Why is everything built up into this mind-boggling, stupefying problem that you can't deal with? Why is that? Very simple is the answer. You've forgotten who is in the vessel. You remember the 46th Psalm? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, notice the therefore. God is, therefore we will not fear. It's not because the storm isn't blowing and the waves aren't overflowing the ship. It isn't because there is no opposition. It isn't because we're supermen or superwomen or have great willpower. But God is our refuge and our strength. He's our very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed and be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters shake with the swelling thereof. That's a picture of the world in convulsions. And when it's all falling apart, and when your world is being shattered, he says, when God is your refuge, you have a hiding place that means you need not fear. That's the faith that Christ expects his people to exercise.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.